Hi, this is Jay Nemro. It's a big number. You're listening to episode 700. Oh. This is the Life Autistic. And in honor of the big, huge, round number that we have here, episode number 700, I want to put aside some of the seriousness that came up on the last episode. You know, sometimes I just get so, I don't know, I start caring too much. I don't know what it is, but on this one, we're going to lighten up a bit, okay? If you thought the last one was kind of dour and like, oh, God, ooh, this one will make you feel better, okay? Because we're going to lighten up a little bit. My daughter Shayna and I, well, I don't know, I think I was probably doing it first, and then Shayna kind of got into the act. We started talking about what were the perfect movies. I don't know if I've done a podcast episode on the perfect movies. Let me give you some of the criteria I have for what perfect movies are. Perfect movies, number one, are typically not terribly popular. Sometimes they are, but often they're not. So it isn't popular movies. They may be some movies that you've never heard of before. Mostly a perfect movie has to do with things like the music fitting the flow, good photography and directorial stuff, good dialogue. You know, a lot of these movies don't have big stars in them, because big stars are frankly tend to be really crappy actors. But we want good performances where everything kind of cuts in and cuts out just beautifully. Just amazing. Good movies. But perfect. Well done, I guess, would probably be the better term than just perfect, is to say they were done well. Talented people came together and manufactured something really wonderful. Let me give you a few examples of some things. And I would love to have your input. You can feel free to email me with your perfect movie titles. I don't accept R-rated movies because I'm constrained by God not to watch R-rated movies. The prophet has said don't do that, so I don't do that. Please don't ask me to watch an R-rated movie. In my collection, I have a few, a precious few, mostly ones that are good, but then they have some stupid 5-second skin scene, Bravehearts like that, you know. Otherwise, the movie's great, you know. I don't really mind blood and violence as long as it's authentic, you know, it's not made-up garbage. I'm not big on made-up garbage. You know, stuff just shoved in there trying to titillate certain groups of people. You can tell when that happens. And perfect movies never have this, because perfect movies never pander for the audience. This is an art form, you know. There's plenty of movies, and that's, you know, and in Braveheart. Otherwise, a really good movie that I enjoyed, but it had the one little naked scene in there that pretty much gave it the R rating. A little bit of language, but It only seemed appropriate given the times and the people, you know. It was appropriate. It wasn't just gratuitous, oh, I'm going to curse because it's fun and it might sell a ticket or two. But yeah, that is an example of a perfect movie. That isn't one, sorry. Although it was a good movie and I liked it, it certainly didn't rate as being perfect. Sorry. Don't mean any disparagement to Mel Gibson. You know, he may or may not be a nice guy. I don't know him personally, so I can't say. See him do some pretty stupid stuff, and I see him do some pretty generous stuff, and it's hard to say. Anyway, so, perfect movies. Give you an example. Ooh, The Princess Bride. Perfect movie. Yes, Rob Reiner did an excellent job there. And all the other people that participated in that movie, everything was great. How did Cary Elwes spend so much time not blinking? I mean, that is acting. When he can just do so much and never blink. Of course, you know, you can cut and then you let him blink. See, now let's put some eye drops in his eyes before his eyeballs just go hard as rocks. You're supposed to blink, but it's very effective to have some guy. People that don't blink, they are considered more intense, you know. I'm not blinking, therefore people think I'm intense. Of course, I've got this stupid look on my face. That doesn't help. People don't, you know, people just think I'm insane. Could be. One perfect movie. The Princess Bride. Fantastic. The music, everything goes together. Only had one curse word in the whole thing, but it was... the movie would have been fine without it. You could have cut that word and it wouldn't have taken anything away. You should have left that out. That was probably the only part of it that wasn't just nigh on to fantastically perfect. Okay. So there's one example. Let me think of a couple of others. Almost every film ever made by Terry Gilliam, except for, well, I don't know. I don't put Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I don't consider that a perfect movie. Although it was pretty good. But I would have to say everything that Terry Gilliam has done that is not a Python movie, you know, a quote-unquote Python movie, were fantastic. One of my personal favorites is The Adventures of Baron von Munchausen. Almost to a fault, Terry Gilliam's most perfect movies are the ones that did horribly at the box office. Just wretchedly. So that's almost a dead ringer that it was a perfect movie. So Terry Gilliam gets big thumbs up for always, or mostly doing fantastically perfect movies. Okay, so I don't even need to bring up all the Terry Gilliam movies, because I haven't watched very many, because he does a lot of R's, you know, and of course I don't get around to watching the R-rated ones. Wow. Okay, let me think. What's another perfect movie? Oh, man. We got a pretty long list. And we've been toying with some others that we want to put on the perfect list, but it takes lots of reflection. You just don't watch it once and say, that was a perfect movie. You know, a perfect movie, you find it has depth. There's nuances that even after the 5th, 7th, 10th viewing, all of a sudden you go, look at that. Whoa. Cool. That is so cool. Another perfect movie. Gosh darn it. I'm tempted, although I'm not sure I want to. It's only because it's been a long time since I watched it, and recently I got a video disc player from a co-worker who is getting rid of all his video discs. They're just too big. They're the same size as a phonograph record, and they don't hold as much as a DVD. Therefore, you know, it loses some of the appeal. Plus, they're not making new laser discs now. Anyway, so I got a laser disc of Return of the Killer Tomatoes, one of the awesome B-movies. I liked Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, the original one, but a perfect movie, that one's not. Although, it was pretty good. Return of the Killer Tomatoes, though, that's a movie with some possibilities. Great acting, great fun, I think the music was pretty good. Done by a group that I really like. I really like Four Square Productions. They're not called that anymore, but that was what they were called when they did it first. It's a good movie. Could be perfect. Could be perfect. Anyway, so let that go for right now. Let me see. I'm trying to think about some more of the perfect movies. I can't believe I'm struggling with this. Golly. Princess Bride. Baron von Munchausen. You know, I would say A Man for All Seasons, but I think I'm too biased there. I just like A Man for All Seasons. I don't know if it was really the combination. You know, it was really the whole theme of it that really touches me. If you don't know A Man for All Seasons, Paul Scofield, he just died recently. It won the Academy Award for Best Picture in 1966. Excellent movie. Let me see. No, not Citizen Kane. Trying to think what other perfect movies are there. Big Trouble in Little China? Nah. Buckaroo Banzai? Nah. Although I like those movies a lot. Alas, no. No, I don't think it's a perfect movie. They're really good, though. I have to highly recommend those. I like cult movies. Just gotta know, I love those cult movies, but yeah, that doesn't quite rise to perfect. Dream a Little Dream. I think that was almost the last two Coreys movie, Corey Haim and Corey Feldman. I think it was probably the last decent one that they did. That one was a perfect movie. The subject matter was horrendous. It was a weird plot line, weird storyline. Didn't make a lot of sense, but the music, the direction, the camera work was just fantastic. You rarely get a perfect movie from an established director except for Terry Gilliam. Because once they get into the system, it gets very dry and dull and they do all the normal tricks. You don't get the cool stuff. Dream a Little Dream is just a visual feast. I can't say much for the acting, honestly, but it's such a perfect melding of camera work and music that's what qualifies it right there. The performances of the actors, pish posh. You know, storyline, oh, God, man. She just shot the screenwriter. But, boy, did they turn some pretty turkey stuff into some excellent director work. Just marvelous. Just well done. Certainly should be, you know, a perfect movie is something that a cinematographer or a score writer wants to put on their resume. You know, they'll say, I was the cinematographer for Dream a Little Dream. And people would go, ooh, I really like the cinematography on that. Story sucked. It's a stupid movie, but, oh, cinematography is just excellent. You know, it's like that, you know. Doesn't mean that the director is going to get much acclaim, but, you know, who cares? It's a good movie. I think it actually did pretty good, too. Anyway. Yeah. Okay, what's another perfect movie? You know, if it comes to just having a cool plot line, I don't remember the music. I don't remember. I don't know if I'm really big on the acting in it, but the one that just probably had the most awesome screenplay, one that if you were the screenwriter, you would want this to be in your resume. You'd want to say, God, I wish I would have written that one. Was The Spanish Prisoner. Now, that's a movie that you most likely have never heard of. It was a little artsy, kind of a weird little artsy-tartsy film. It's actually a drama with Steve Martin in it. Steve Martin did not tell one joke. He was not being a comedian. A comedian in this thing. He was totally playing it completely straight. I thought it was okay. You know, I didn't think his performance was like excellent. Oh, but the storyline was just to die for. It's fantastic. You need to watch that movie just for the storyline. Don't worry about the interesting little acting things. Just try to keep up with the twists and turns of the story. It's just amazing. Okay, let's see. That one's pretty good. What's another one? Oh, God. I'm partial to Fiddler on the Roof, but that's only because it's cultural. You know, having a Jewish background. You know, you have to love Fiddler. Sorry, it's a law. If you've got any Jew in you at all, Fiddler's the one. No more creepy view than when some Jew has to go asking a question of the parish priest. You know, those spooky Christians. Ooh. I don't blame them. I'm probably the most Jewish Christian that there probably is, that never was a practicing Jew. All right, let me see. What else? Sitting here thinking, and it's not coming. Another perfect movie. You know, I can't think of any more. I don't, like I said, I don't tend to give it to movies that did particularly well at the box office because they mostly pander to the audience too much. You won't get great cinematography from them. I'm not saying you're going to get bad cinematography. I'm just saying that you aren't going to get the amazing stuff. You know. Well, I can't think of any more. I'm going to have to look at the list soon, and then I can give you a better thing. If you have a movie, now you can't just give me the title of a movie and leave it at that. You have to tell me why it's perfect. Okay? It's got to be for good reason. I don't want to hear, oh, I love this actor or this actress. This was their best performance. I don't care about who you like as actors and actresses. I don't care. You know, I don't care about individual people when it comes to this. If Steven Spielberg were to, you know, I never saw Schindler's List. I think it was rated R. I don't care if it was his best movie. It won him the Oscar or something. I don't care. Was it a good mix? Did he do an excellent job? Or did he finally decide to do a serious subject that didn't involve the government invading, you know, taking it over, which seemed to be, for many years, a Steven Spielberg trademark, you know, using obvious ploys to try to bring up some tension. Oh, we'll have aliens come down. Even the cute little alien that's so wonderful and evil, wicked government comes in and takes over. But there's one nice, kind, gentle government agent who turns his back so they can run away. You know, basic theme of three quarters of Spielberg movies. You know, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway. You know, not like that. I don't want you to go saying, oh, but it's their best film. It's this best thing. They are my favorite actor, director, / whatever. You're going to have to do better than that. I am not a Hollywood insider, so I don't care about the work of a certain cinematographer or stuff like that. Not that that isn't a good thing, but just because I'm saying I'm not a Hollywood insider, I am not a deep movie person. I watch movies for entertainment. I don't get buried in them. You know, I don't want to know everything about the screenwriter and stuff like that. That does not interest me. It says, I am looking at the overall experience. Is it a perfect movie? I don't care who did it. Is it a perfect movie? It's been funny, though, that mostly it's newcomers to almost all these things. Newcomers that are hoping to prove something that do a fantastic job. You know, another movie that could be a perfect movie is Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. That was done by a young guy who just wanted to make a movie. And he got all the stuff together to finally make it kind of happen. It was a kick-butt movie. It was fantastic. I think everything about it was just excellent. Did a wonderful, wonderful job. And I think it actually did pretty well, too. Good for him. I don't think he'll, you know, he may or may not ever do a movie again. That movie was so unique. I think that was a cool part about it being kind of a unique one, especially for modern times. It had a lot more to do with movies from, like, the 40s. And he kind of did it that way. But not in a parody, but to take all the best parts of it, but also bring new elements to it, new things we can do. Blue screen stuff is just awesome. The whole feel of it was just good, you know, almost a sepia feel to it. Sepia, I don't know how it's pronounced. Or I pronounce it sepia. But that's because, and I finally heard it once. Who was it? Dan Carlin. If you haven't listened to Dan Carlin's podcast, it's wonderful. Do it. www.dancarlin.com. Fantastic. His history ones are to die for. They're just great. And I usually don't mind listening to Common Sense, his current event political one. Dan said that you know, you can tell people who get most of their learning from books as opposed to listening to someone or watching TV or listening to the radio, because they will pronounce words, quote-unquote, wrong. Like if I say sepia, and they say, oh no, that's sepia. And you go, well, how should I know? All I ever, my only exposure to the word sepia or sepia was by reading it in books. So I wouldn't know how to pronounce it, because they don't usually give you a pronunciation guide. You're just supposed to know. So I will gladly tell you that Most of my knowledge comes from books. Or, actually now, from texts from the internet. I'm a text fiend, you know. And I love knowledge. I love knowing. You know, now I have my favorites, but, you know, I love knowing. Anyway, okay. Any more perfect movies come to mind? I was actually coming around to letting you give suggestions. You can do that by sending me an email, of course. Don't send me suggestions of, like, you know, oh, I love Pearl Harbor. This is not a question of love. It doesn't even have to be a good movie. Like I said, some of these movies are just atrocious. Return of the Killer Tomatoes is an atrocious movie. Everything that was bad about 80s, teenage, sex, fiend movies is in Return of the Killer Tomatoes, but I still think it did a pretty good job, although I'm not willing to call it perfect yet. You know, just to say, it doesn't have to be a good movie, it doesn't have to be popular, it just has to be so well done. It has to be outstanding, it has to stand out. Most movies are technically pretty good, you know. Most movies have decent directing. Most movies have decent cinematography. You know, have a good screenplay, decent screenplay, yada, yada, yada. These perfect movies are outstanding. They have to have some part about them, and I'm hoping it's not just one thing. Has to be outstanding. Just wow! What a cool thing. What's another one? I'm not big into martial arts movies, but I watched Jet Li's Fearless. I watched it in the theater, thank goodness, because there's an uncut version, which I'm sure had sex and all kinds of stuff in it. I'm glad I watched the one that came out, the theatrical movie. It was a PG-13. And that one is perfect. That was a beautiful, well done movie. Everything about it was just amazing. You know, thank the Chinese government, because I'm pretty sure it was the Chinese government that produced that movie. Excellent movie. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Nigh on to perfect. It could have been a perfect movie. Of course, the whole plot of it was wonderful. You know, bad, evil guy gets hurt, decides to change his life, yada, yada, yada. And then ultimately does something just inspirational. Is it based on a true story? It may be based on a true story. I don't remember. But, excellent movie. I liked it. Even though I don't really get into martial art movies. I don't have Jet Li's Fearless because I won't let it in the house. For fear that my kids will, you know, watch the unrated version, which I don't trust. We have Hidden Tiger, Crouching Dragon, or Hidden Dragon, Crouching Tiger, or Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, I don't know. Anyway, it's some combination of those words. That one was okay, but it was a little too ponderous, I thought. It's going too long, you know. I don't mind people on wires, that's okay. The fight scenes were just amazing. You know, guy, nobody could even touch the Chinese for just fight choreography. Just wow, amazing. Okay, anyway, you know, I can't really think of anything more. Of course, once I turn this thing off, I know I'm going to come up with the quintessential perfect movie. Although I've always said the Crown Standard was probably The Princess Bride. Princess Bride is just God. The music was perfect. The film The cinematography was perfect. The directing was perfect. The acting was a little wooden, but, you know, it was kind of a caricature anyway, so you can't really fault it too much. Perfect. Perfect. Anyway, so, I think that's all I have. I think that's all I have for perfect movies. If you have any suggestions, feel free to send them to me email. What's the email address? Autism, AUTISM, at Quix, QUIX.US. This is episode number 700. Lightening up a little bit from 699, which was just, God, man. Boy, was that a sleeper. Anyway, have a great day.